gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Doggy, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Monday. 6 minutes after the hour, the Rude Pundit. In just mere minutes, Eric Bollard from Media Matters, co-host Right Wing World Next Hour, and Mondays with McClurg.
Mm-hmm.
Edie McClurg in Hour 3. What's not great about that? StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward. Rebecca Taylor, associate producer extraordinaire, or me, Stephanie Miller. Good morning, lovely and talented Rebecca Taylor.
What up, commie crat? How are you?
Tommy Krat.
I love that word.
Does your mom use that?
Yes. She's used every word in the book, especially for Stephanie.
Mm. I assume that's the salutation when you answer the phones here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Tommy Krat headquarters, how can I help you?
So you have a right, we have that in common. We have a right-wing mom. How is she doing lately? Is she a teabagger?
If it's about Obama, she can't stand him. So if I ever need to change the subject, you know, if the conversation's getting too personal about anything else, I just say, Obama, and she just flips out.
Yes.
So it's fun.
Someone just hurled a book at the president.
That's right.
Really?
And had a campaign stop yesterday.
Mm, how did the Secret Service feel about that?
I guess we will find out, won't we?
They might be throwing the book back in a legal sense.
And also there was a naked dude at his event.
Mm.
What?
Mm-hmm. Things have gone a little bit
wow.
A little bit insane this year.
He had a good weekend.
All right. How was your weekend, you and Mr. Taylor? You always look a little disheveled. I've seen both of you already this morning.
Well, you know, we have a lot of sex, so I would look disheveled come Monday.
Dude!
Yes.
What?
As those of us that listen to the Stephanie Miller Show on a daily basis know, you and Mr. Taylor have sex nonstop all weekend.
Nonstop. That's why I can't pick up the phone when Miss Miller calls. Friday was...
That and I irritate the bejesus out of you, and you wouldn't want to talk to me under any circumstances.
And that's actually the correct reason.
Okay.
Friday was my birthday.
It was!
And since Stephanie...
Happy birthday! We didn't know.
I wished her happy birthday.
Hmm. You don't know, right?
Well, you should have it on your calendar, Stephanie.
I guess I should. If I had any idea how to have one of those fancy electronic calendars, I would. Happy birthday, Rebecca.
Uh-huh. It's a little late, bitch. I just want you to know that I spent my 33rd birthday crying because Miss Miller forgot. So.
Is that my job to keep you abreast of?
Yes. Okay. You've earned my hate for
I've already given you, like, the evil eyes, like, six times this break.
Oh.
All right. I apologize, Rebecca. And now you're old and you've been ignored.
Bitter. Yeah.
Even more bitter than before.
Yeah, well, welcome to it. I don't know how old you are exactly, but trust me, I'm into the night sweats and the hot flashes, and I don't know what the hell's going on. All right, but you know what I did this weekend, which was really, was timely. I went to the GLSEN Respect Awards on Friday night.
Star-studded.
Well, not me, but other people that were there, yes. Yes, indeed. It's the, what do you call it, Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, with everything going on right now in the news, it's just such good people doing such great stuff that we were sitting with Rob Reiner and his wife, who were big behind the No on Prop 8 out here, and Rob spoke, and he was hilarious. He did a whole routine on, because there was a GLSEN sign behind him, and he did a whole thing about how he thought it was Gelson's, the supermarket, and he... Anyway, they honored Modern Family, which is hilarious. Have you seen this show?
I told you about it last year.
Well, okay, see, I'm old and I don't even remember you telling me about it, but it's hilarious.
I said it was
and now
the best
I think I thought of it.
I said it was the best new show of last year.
Yeah.
You don't listen to me.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Rebecca, you no one knows more than you what a big loser I am, though. I had to actually walk the red carpet with our friend Shelley Wright, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-huh.
And they mostly just wanted pictures of her.
Sure.
So I haven't actually walked the red carpet since I had a date with Greg Brady in the, I don't know.
Mid-90s.
Before my last failed television show. Yes.
Was that before or
exactly.
during your last
show? I don't understand the screaming with the red carpet with the photographers. Like, you're standing right in front of them. Why are they screaming? Like,
because
look over here, look over here. But that's all I remember. I'm deaf from Shelley, Shelley!
Right. Were they like,
get the radio geek out of the way, Shelley! I'm like, what? She's right here. What, is she deaf? Like, yeah. I don't know if any of those pictures have surfaced yet. I looked like a hooker. because I, as you know, I don't generally leave my house.
Right.
So I don't really get invited to things. So I was like, so when they tell you, oh, it's business cocktail, I don't even know what that means.
So the last time you dressed up fancy was in 1988.
Cocktail, business cocktail. For me, is how I dress every, it's the sweatpants I wear to drink my box wine every night. So I'm like, okay.
Did you bring
cocktail.
Out the fishnet hose that you wore at that one
no,
event?
No, I did not go quite as skanky as the fishnet hose. I wore it's a red sequin thing that I don't know.
Oh,
red
something,
sequin.
Something
uh-huh.
Red sequin. Tacky. Okay.
Mini, like sort of cocktail dress with a black boots.
You really haven't gone
really,
out fancy
I
since 1988.
I so looked like a hooker. I really did.
Were you wearing the Uggs?
Oh. Anyway. Oh, Stephanie needs a hug.
Anyway, I am waiting with bated breath to see if those pictures have surfaced because I'm like, eh. Our friend Carol Leifer was there.
Yes,
the hilarious comedian. So yeah, it was just a great event and a lot of people. Chris, I was telling you, it's such a weird, hopeful and yet depressing time at the same time on gay rights. Mm-hmm. I have to say, because you think, oh, we're making progress on gay marriage, mm-hmm. on don't ask, don't tell, and then. You know, there's all these horrible gay suicides, and obviously a lot of the people that are there really have been fighting this fight. There are people from the Trevor Project, which, of course, I work with. And then this horrible story in New York over the weekend. Did you hear this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even – it's one of those things, like, you read it, it just makes you sick, the details. It's this New York gang members in these just gruesome anti-gay beatings. They essentially, like, kidnapped and tortured two gay teenagers and a 30-year-old. Gay guy, and if you read the details on it, it's beyond, you know, it's the typical stuff that you would think, just hours of torture and mm-hmm. sodomy with baseball bats, and it just mm-hmm. was really, and in the meantime, but you know, we were talking about this, a lot of people at the event were talking about, like, why kids, in terms of the gay suicide thing, like, why this is happening, it's because you have idiots like Carl Palladino in New York, because you have elected leaders saying things about gay people, of course they feel like second-class citizens.
Mm-hmm.
What is, Carl, are you looking at me, Palladino, is that his, has
yeah.
he officially taken my advice and used that as a campaign slogan? Carl Palladino, what are you looking at? You looking at me?
But he has a Buffalo accent. He doesn't even have a New York accent.
I don't know what he has. He told a gathering in Brooklyn on Sunday that children should not be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality was acceptable and criticized his opponent, Andrew Cuomo, for marching in a gay pride parade earlier in the year. You know, on the same weekend, like not even with the decency, on the same weekend in New York, that there is this gruesome anti-gay violence. You know, he opens his big pie hole. And this is, we were talking, weren't we talking to the head of the Trevor Project last week about this, that this is part of the problem, is that the Republicans, as usual, are blocking this bullying legislation.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because they want to exclude being gay. They're like, oh, yeah, because who's going to say they're for bullying? Of course, everyone's, you know, against bullying. But they want to specifically not have sexuality be included because they don't want kids to think it's okay to be gay, which is exactly why kids are killing themselves, because they don't think it's okay to be gay. And it's you know, so I don't know. It really feels like it's – I don't know whether there's more publicity or it's just reached critical mass.
The tide is turning on this, I think.
In what way?
Towards the good way.
I hope so.
Less people are thinking the way of the homophobes.
Except look at this year's crop of Republican candidates. You have Christine O'Donnell, who's called being gay an identity disorder.
And she's double digits behind.
That's true.
That's
for a thousand other reasons.
Well,
other than
sure.
That.
Yeah.
But Palladino's got to be behind,
way
too.
Behind, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think
Palladino's
the homophobia is going to work this year. I just don't. And it's so sad that these kids are getting bullied. Yeah.
Democrats will lose for other reasons, not for homophobia, though.
Yeah. It was just a...
right. So true.
No, but who's the other candidate I'm thinking of this election cycle that's made anti-gay comments? I can't even... Who can keep
Sharon
track
Angle?
Of them? They all do. Yeah, they all do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's... what's his name? Jim DeMint and his junior DeMints.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jim DeMint said gays shouldn't be allowed to teach in schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's... Oh, or unmarried sexually active women. Is that what he
yes.
said?
Yes.
Is that what he said? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. But anyway, that's all I'm saying is, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just, you know, this is, like we keep saying, this Tea Party is this lunatic right fringe, and mm-hmm. they're not going to win. But it was just a depressing weekend. Like, the LA Times, I guess, had a, what was it? I think it was Seth. There's been so many of these gay kids that have killed themselves in the last month. It's depressing. Like, right, Chris, I think I called you. It was, I needed a story. It was Saturday, I mm-hmm. think, was the front page story about him in the paper. And then the next day is this horrible violence in New York, this gang, you know, anti-gay gang violence in New York. But the sad thing to me about, and I can't remember, I've got to remember the details. He was the teenager that hung himself, I think, in Minnesota. But what was sad about that is his family was really supportive of him. He didn't come from it. You know, his family was accepting and loving and whatever. It was this vicious bullying. And you read some of these stories and it just makes you cry. It's like the kind, and it's again, you know, and it happens not just to kids that are gay. It's just, but the level of meanness, you know, you wonder, is that just our society, this level of meanness we've gotten to, but just this relentless, vicious anti-gay bullying. And I think he had been beaten up on the day he finally hung himself. And it just, and kids that specifically told him you should hang yourself.
It's so tragic.
So,
we care so much about what our peers think of us that when they come down on you hard and when they harass you, that it's so heartbreaking because we've all gone through high school. We've all had hard times.
But that's what I'd be curious to know whether parent, because as you know, I'm a single childless unmarried loser.
Yes, we know.
Are your kids gay?
My dogs? I think so.
Really?
There's a lot of, there's a lot of, you know.
Licking?
Well, anyway, there's a lot of what could be considered homosexual activity between Max and Fred.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know whether they're just wrestling. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but what was my point? Oh, is to hear from parents whether you think, like, has it gotten worse? Or is it just, like, we've talked about, there's more tools, like, with high tech? I mean, there's so many issues that are, you know, involved in it now. I mean, because you're right, there's always been bullying, but it just, is it getting worse? Is it?
Well, I also think we're hearing more about it because we're, you know, in a 24-hour news cycle and everybody has time to fill, and so they're looking for stories, and so we're hearing about all of these stories of kids killing themselves. Kids have always killed themselves because they thought they were gay.
But I'm talking about even just bullying. There was a story in the New York Times yesterday about little girls, about how, you know, like how mean little girls can be. And it just, you think.
You know what? Girls have always been, they were mean in your day.
Listen, don't I know it?
Yeah.
When Carol Fisher beat me up in front of the Y and pushed me through the bushes.
I just think it's making more national news now.
Is it? That's what I don't know. I'm old, but I think we had news in the 70s. I'm almost positive.
Yes, but you didn't have three 24-hour news channels and the
and
internet.
And the interwebs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You only had Walter Cronkite back then.
Well, Uncle Walter was asleep on the job then because I didn't hear about a lot
of
stuff.
30 minutes to fill. So, you know, he couldn't squeeze in every suicide, unfortunately. Then.
All right. Well, what do you think? Is it getting better or worse? Or is it just, like Chris says, more news outlets? But it was, you know, like I say, it was a weird, for me, a like hopeful and depressing weekend. It was kind of like all these great people with the GLSEN Awards. And then, and then you just go, wow. And then is it like a vicious cycle that it's in the news more? So now the bullies are more prone. I don't know. You know what I mean? They're more prone because it's in the news. I don't know. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. You know, that wasn't bad for being completely drunk from the weekend. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, you know what else I did? I saw Social Network.
I saw that too.
Did you?
Yes.
Good film.
I liked it a lot.
But a lot of issues intersecting. I was at the thing, you know, we were talking about bullying, and the internet, it is kind of like another tool that people are using for bullying.
Yeah.
Which, what's his name? Zuckerberg. Kind of an asshat. And it is sort of weird that Facebook kind of came about because he was mad at a girl and started, you know.
Well.
I mean. Yeah.
That
was one of the funniest lines ever. She said, dating you is like being on a Stairmaster. It's exhausting.
Yes.
Anyway.
Although Mark Zuckerberg in real life has had the same girlfriend since Harvard. So, yeah.
So some of it was fiction?
Some of it was fiction, yes.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. But, I mean, when you think about it, it's like they talk, you know, how he came up with the whole thing about, you know, your relationship status on Facebook. And, and I guess some people are always going to misuse stuff. It can be used for good or evil.
Yep.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ray in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie. I just can't yet bring myself to call you mama, but hi, Steph.
Hi, honey.
Anyways, I taught health education for 33 years, and I also became certified in cognitive therapy, and there are so many things we could be doing with kids that we're just simply not doing. And the best part is it wouldn't cost us any money or any teachers or classes, new classes, to start doing it. We could teach them to have unconditional self-acceptance, which would be directly related to, bisexual or gay, lesbian,
right.
I can't remember what that acronym is.
Yes,
and
whatever.
Also unconditional other acceptance, and also to have an internal locus control, which would teach them that the way they feel is not dependent on what other people say. It's what they think about what happens or what other people say. And
right. Well, Ray, I mean, it seems to me just common sense that, you know, you've got to include everything in reasons people may be bullied for, you know, being perceived as being different, whereas Republicans specifically want to exclude being gay, you know,
and that gives
bullies the message, yeah, it's okay. Don't bully people for other reasons, but if they're gay, then it's okay.
Well, the Republicans are a whole other story, but what I'd like to do is invite people to go to www.itsjustanevent.com. It tells you all about how to develop an internal locus of control and teach unconditional self and other acceptance. And I go around to schools free doing this, speaking to people, showing them how to do this. So if anybody wants me to come to their school and teach them and their kids how to do this, just let me know.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think, Ray, that's a great idea because, you know, a lot of these kids need help now. You know, I just did the It Gets Better video. But, you know, for a lot of these kids, they're enduring relentless, vicious bullying every day. And, you know, growing up, that seems like a long time from now for some of them.
Oh, it is. And it's tough because I've been there. But there are things we can do for kids that we're just simply not doing. And it's just so hard to get the educational establishment to start wanting to do some of these things, even though it wouldn't cost them a dime.
Well, right, and Ray, this is what I was saying as part of the problem with some of these kids. Their families were completely loving and accepting, and it's that they couldn't prevent this vicious bullying at school, and maybe in some cases teachers are having a hard time controlling it, and so that must be horribly, you know, parents must feel horribly helpless around that, don't you think?
We have an obligation as a teacher to provide a safe atmosphere, and if they're not doing that, well, that's a whole other issue.
Yep.
But, you know, what they could be doing to help kids on both sides of this issue, there's a lot we could be doing we're just simply not doing, and they just don't want to do anything new. They keep doing the same things they've always done and keep getting the same results.
Yep. All right. Thank you, honey.
All I want to say, thanks, Steph.
All right. Thank you. All right. We have some, there's lots of Joe Miller news this morning.
Yes.
The unshaven wolf candidate from Alaska. Wow, he has 8 kids, first of all. I can't get to all the Joe Miller news here.
His wife had 8 kids. She's the one who did all the work.
Well, but as it turns out, as you know, he's on the, you know. You know, because he's against any government stuff of any kind. He acknowledged in the past his family received assistance from federal Medicaid and Denali Kid Care, the state low-income health care program.
Hmm.
Interesting. He availed himself of that, but I guess no one else should.
No, not at all.
All right. Other Joe Miller news and the Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And that was the first time I saw
Stephanie Miller.
And as I gazed, I turned to my first mate and I said, "We are looking into the very eyes of God."
Oh, God.
It is the...
Whoa.
Oh, can I... By the way, I've got to tell you... Okay, and I do have to drop a couple names. I apologize. But I got the greatest birthday gift ever from Lily Tomlin and Jane Wagner. They found this old newspaper clipping from my father from the campaign that I've never even seen.
Really?
And it's the official campaign picture where my dad is holding me and I have the crazy eyes. Have you seen that picture?
I've seen that picture.
Yes.
Oof.
And they wrote me in a hilarious note and they said, did your dad take your mom to campaign events in Roswell? Did you get that? How did you gave her crazy, those crazy alien eyes?
You had googly eyes.
I looked like one of those little things you shake up, and the little googly eyes go...
Yeah, your eyes moved independently of each other, which is hard to do.
Yes. Not if you're a little wolf child from Buffalo.
Oh.
All right. Let's. You know it's Monday.
It's Lee Bobbitt, the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Stephanie.
You know what? I enjoy your column, as you know. Well, I don't know what it is. A blog? What are you kids calling it these days?
Ah, we're going with blog.
Okay.
And he tweets, too, you know.
I understand that.
Yes.
I've been told. Anyway, your rudeness, a lot of great stuff. Where do we start? Let's start with the midterms. Because you very, well, graphically, as you do, point out the difference between Republicans and Democrats. And you write, the Republican approach to power has been to rape and pillage, slash and burn, kill them all, let God sort it out. To take it further, Republicans are a troop of sweaty, paranoid psychopaths handed loaded AK-47s and told to wait to fire until they see the whites of the enemy's eyes. What's a psychopath going to do? Be patient? Hell no. He's going to wildly shoot up. Oh, pardon me. Not giving a happy monkey what gets blown away in the process. And so you talk about this in terms of the midterms, right?
Right, yeah. That they're just firing everywhere, no matter what. They're just throwing everything they possibly can at the Democrats, every accusation they possibly can, just making stuff up. Yeah.
Well, but the larger, you know, I hate to say it, it's not the happy clappy narrative that you know I enjoy, but it's very true that you say, you know, right now while running a long con on the American people, congressional Republicans have completely upended the actual running of the government through their extraordinary abuse of the rules of the Senate, which I think you're right. A lot of people just aren't aware of this. You write, for instance, there's 420 bills passed by the House that are now awaiting passage in the Senate. It's like the Senate has become the plaque buildup from the arteries of democracy, the constipated colon of America. In their crazed embargo on progress, the GOP senators have behaved like douchebag junior executives who's told he can use a company car for personal reason and then takes it for a joyride across the country with his douchebag friends.
Right. The rules exist. I mean, that's the thing is they're not violating the rules of the Senate. They're just being excessive about it to the extreme. You know, they've taken the rules to their most absurd extent and just made a mockery out of what was out of. They talk about comity in the Senate, and they've totally made a mockery of that.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, the scary part you point out, if Republicans take back the House and the Senate, history will show it's because of one of the greatest con jobs ever played in politics. Republicans and their media allies have convinced too many voters that Democrats have either accomplished nothing or have only accomplished things that will hurt them. They have done so despite the fact that, one, a great deal has been accomplished. Two, what hasn't been accomplished is due almost entirely to Republican obstructionism. And three, what's been passed has been watered down in order to appease Republicans and some of the ass Democrats.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean the things that are being held up are sometimes absolutely ludicrous. I mean, I'm writing today about a settlement over land rights and oil rights in Native American lands that has been held up in the Senate since at least May, and it's got the settlement with the government between this Native American group has an October 15th deadline to get approved. Otherwise, the settlement's off, and it's been held up by Tom Coburn because he doesn't like how much the lawyers are getting paid.
Well, I mean, look at, you know, we've been talking about, I mean, obviously this bullying has been, you know, all over the news. And, you know, we've had this bullying legislation. You would think, isn't that something we could all agree on, that we don't want our kids to be bullied in school? We don't want our kids to kill themselves? And it's like, well, Republicans are holding it up because they don't want being gay to be included. You know?
Right. Well, because, you know, if you say that, then all of a sudden you're saying, well, I guess we do have to consider gays real. They're not just these fantasy enemies. They're not they're not the dragons of minorities.
Well, I was going to get to that post next, but, you know, you have a post called Dead Kids, Queer Bashing and Denial, and that's, you raise a really good point. An article in a local paper about middle schoolers being beaten up in the locker room does mention the recent incidents. Asher Brown of Houston, who was tormented until he shot himself, Seth Walsh of California, who suffered relentless taunting before he hung himself, and you read the article, you say, thinking, oh, maybe they were short or they had pimples. Not once does either piece mention that they're gay.
Right. This is the reason. My family's hometown newspaper in Louisiana,
right.
And it was this extensive article on bullying, and I was appalled. I thought, how can you mention those stories without mentioning the cause? It's just odd to me that they would leave that out. But of course, they had to because they didn't want to upset people who I guess think it's okay to abuse gay people.
Yeah. Well, but that, and that's exactly it. Like I was saying, you know, look at the Carl Paladinos. Like, oh, children shouldn't be brainwashed to thinking homosexuality is acceptable. It's like approval to, you know, that's the one reason you can bully, which is why that's the cause of, like, I don't know what, but a pretty high percentage of the bullying. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. There's a reason that gay kids are 3 to 4 times more likely to kill themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's the last universal prejudice, isn't it? Isn't it like the last thing that unites Christians and Muslims is prejudice against homosexuals? And that maybe this is a clever Paladino ploy to unite people to get votes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, unbelievable. Well, let's finish up, though, about the midterms and the Republican con job, because I love the way you close. You say you can't un something that you've Republicans have paid almost no long-term price for the Caligula-like madness of the Bush administration. There's a chance that now, 2 years later, they're going to get rewarded for refusing to participate in running the country. It's like setting free an arsonist after you've started to rebuild the house and telling him, oh, and here's those matches we took from you. Sorry for the inconvenience. I mean, that's the other reason I hope people wake up. Democrats wake up before the midterms.
And the time crush is on now, and I don't know. Is there an air of desperation to Democrats now as they try to push anything? Have they let the narrative get so far away from them that anything they do is going to seem like that kind of desperation? You know, I watch Mad Men. Are you a Mad Men fan?
I am. I don't watch any. If Keith Olbermann didn't say it, I didn't watch it.
Okay.
Unfortunately,
anyway,
I'm a cable news geek.
There's a whole plot in there about whether or not the business is seeming desperate as it's going down, mm-hmm. and the appearance it puts out. And I get a whiff of that from Democrats. That they know that the losses are coming, and they're just trying to grab for the planks in the sunken ship.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Carl Paladino, your lovely posting entitled Republican Suckers for New York. Of course, speak about Carl Paladino and Peter King.
I would just like to point out, I wrote that before Paladino's remarks.
Yes.
Yes, oddly. You're oddly prescient.
Yes, yes.
But so, King, well, because in Peter King's case, he, Faisal Shehzad, the Times Square doofus, you write that he said, there was a bit of luck involved here. And you're like, unless you want to, you know, apply that to every crime that's ever been solved in the history of the country, right?
Right. Yeah, luck. It was just luck that he happened to be arrested because of an investigation with the evidence that was left at the scene of the crime, and they caught him, and like most criminals, he ended up confessing when presented with the evidence against him. Oh, wow, that was lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because it was the Obama administration, so it was just lucky, yeah.
Oh, it had to be. You know what? You know what? If it was the Bush administration, it would have been compliments to the law enforcement officials and the mightiness of the Ashcroft Justice Department. But if it's the Obama administration and Eric Holder and the NYPD, yeah. Now it's just a bunch of people who are stumbling into a conviction.
Yeah, exactly. And then you close with King is the warm-up act, though, for the giant bag of loser suckerdom that is soon to be loser Carl Paladino.
Oh, God.
As Cranes New York says, most of what he's proposing is bull, and he's just a mother. I think you're paraphrasing what Cranes New York said. But
yes, no, that was an exact quote. Cranes New York can be incredibly vulgar.
You write, nicely done, New York Republican Party. You guys used to run Nelson Rockefeller and other moderates. Giuliani lost his mind when he gave up his comb-over. Bloomberg bailed on you because you became a bunch of suckers.
Oh,
so,
dear.
All right. But, yeah, Carl Paladino, I mean, as you say, I guess the good news is he's going to lose big. But what kind of timing does it take to say, you know, to do this, say this gay bashing thing the same weekend that there's this horrible anti-gay gang violence in New York?
There
I mean, the most graphic, gruesome anti-gay violence you can imagine.
And by the way, when gangs are beating up straight guys, do they ever sodomize them? I don't get the necessity to do that unless it's some sort of latent homosexuality coming out, and only in this situation can you actually act on it. But
well,
that aside,
right? No, but let me say, Rude, you know, there are horrible crimes every day. It's just, you know, obviously this one was particularly gruesome in the sense that if you read these descriptions, these beatings went on for hours. They forced one kid to burn the other guy's genitals with a cigarette. They forced him to drink like 10 cans of malt liquor and while he was being beaten and sodomized with a baseball bat. I mean, you know, can you even imagine in your worst nightmare? You know,
no, it's horrible. It's horrible. And the kind of nice thing that's coming out of this, if there is a, you know, even the thinnest of silver linings, is that the neighborhood is actually coming forward and saying, hey, look, we're actually a pretty tolerant neighborhood here. There's actually a large, especially Hispanic gay population in that neighborhood, and the people of that neighborhood are appalled by this.
Right.
But as far as Palladino goes, I mean, there's this great moment in when he's talking, when you realize that he must have seen that dysfunctional homosexual line in the cards, and he sort of pauses and elides over it. And it's almost as if he thought, ooh, maybe this is too far, but then he doubled down.
Well, I mean, especially, let's not even forget, like, what, you know, what happened in New York this weekend, but just how many, you know, gay teen suicides there have been. You know, really? Is this the time as a decent person you talk? I mean, why do you think they're doing that? Because you tell them they can't serve in the military, they can't get married, they can't teach in school. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I don't understand why the Jews standing there needed to hear about gays at that moment.
Right.
That's the other thing, is he's talking to an Orthodox Jewish association. You'd think they'd have other things on their mind.
Yeah.
Then did they invite him because they were feeling particularly anti-gay that day?
Right. And in this economy, they're going, Andrew Cuomo marched in a gay pride parade a year ago. What?
And,
what? Who cares?
And Rude, you were saying that Palladino doubled down again this morning?
Oh, he said flat out, you know, on the Today Show, he said, no, I don't hate gay people, but look, Andrew Cuomo brought his daughter to a parade where men in bikini briefs were rubbing against each other. And I thought,
hard to have Carl Palladino's family values, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought, you know, that he lives in New York City, and, you know, we sort of see different things walking around here. And, you know, and it's the same way out in L.A. It's like there are places that don't share your little closed values.
Right.
And you know, we don't mind things like that.
Let's, by the way, just before you go, review Carl Palladino's family values just for a moment. So,
sure.
He tell me this story again. He told his wife on the day that she had lost her son in a car crash? Or...
I don't know. Tell me.
I forgot. I don't know. She lost her. Anyway, but he picked that day to tell her, by the way, he had an illegitimate child with another woman, and everyone knew, including all their friends and family. Everyone knew except for her.
He's also known for forwarding bestiality videos on the internet.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But, yeah, so she told him, so he pulled a Gingrich on her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's in the worst pain of her life, and that's when you say, you know what, as long as you're feeling like crap, and you can't feel any worse right now.
Yes.
I'm just going to toss this in there so maybe you'll forget that
yes.
I told you.
And he claims, Chris, that he just forwarded the racist and, you know, pornographic emails, being that it's that forward key that is in itself racist
that
and
gets it, that gets you in trouble.
Disgusting.
Forward
yes.
key. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, well done, New York Republican Party.
Yeah.
Well
nicely
done.
All right. Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit. See you next week, honey.
All righty. Bye.
There he goes. His rudeness. All right, 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh. 53 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert, co-host Right Wing World, in just a few minutes, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Ron in Missouri. Hey, Ron, welcome.
Yes, you know, I think the Democrats are given a bad rap right now. I don't think that they're going to lose as many seats as people say. You know, 90% of our media is, you know, ran by the Republicans or right-wing people. And, you know, the same thing was happening right before the election. Heck, you know, if you listen to the media, you'd think Barack Obama would have never won the election.
Yeah, no, that's true. You know, Ron, I said that during the campaign. I mean, literally every storyline turned out to be wrong that the mainstream media went with. And, you know, by the way, the latest, and I know you say generic polls are bull.
Yeah, they are.
However,
all right.
I'm just saying, the new generic poll, Ron, shows it's dead even, 43% to 43%, the generic, you know, right now for between Democrats and Republicans. So I will see. I mean, Joe Biden says we're not going to lose either. We'll see what happens.
Well, you know, and I think that's right because, you know, a lot of us Democrats, we just don't even listen to this junk on the radio or the TV. The only places we turn our stations to are MSNBC sometimes and the left-wing, you know, America Left, and then maybe Talk Radio 165,
yep.
You know, because they'll have Randy Rhodes on there. And so, I mean, you got all these people that, you know, a small amount of people that we can drive across the country and listen to. You know, there's no way to take a poll on all that.
Yep.
And a lot of us don't
Ron,
even want to hear about
good
it,
points,
you know?
And we were really having such a nice conversation until you yelled out another woman's name while you're with me. But that's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. I love Randy Rhodes, too. All right. All right. No mention of
Stephanie Miller.
Although he was talking to me.
So one would assume he listens to you.
Whatever. Yell out that other hoa's name while you're talking to me. All right. Joe Miller. So the good news, too, is they have really asshat candidates.
Yeah.
Julie sends me from Joe Miller. Walmart says Joe Miller's full of crap. He might have gotten a little carried away in telling ABCs it's not unusual to walk into a Walmart and or a gas station and see people carrying guns. Actually, Walmart manager said that is pretty unusual. That's not generally something that's encouraged.
No. Some states even ban
it. In fact, when you buy a gun at Walmart, they escort you out and don't give you the gun until after you're out of the, you know. Yes. All right. The other breaking news. Mama, here's the latest on the Alaska Teabagger Intramural Spectacular. Article 1. You almost feel Teabagger fellow Joe Fella, you feel bad for him when you read he screwed himself by typing the wrong email address and sending the Todd Palin disciplinary screed to a blogger who does not care for the screeching loon human hybrid or her protege. Yeah, that would be something I'd do.
He
forwarded the email he meant. Wait a minute. Hang on. I have the story here. After an angry online exchange between Todd Palin and Joe Miller surfaced, the Senate nominee's camp searched to discover who was behind the private message leaks. As it turned out, Joe Miller was behind the... Mm-hmm. He intended to forward an email to a few of his campaign advisors. Oh, who of us hasn't hit the wrong key by accident? Oops.
That damn autocomplete.
Dopes.
That gets people in trouble all the time.
Mm. Have you ever, you know what I've done once? Have you ever written a letter that was just really to get stuff out of your system? And then you were going to, and you meant to hit draft, and it was like, oh, gosh, send is right next to the draft. Oh, well. He meant to forward it to members of his campaign, and he forwarded it to this blogger instead.
Zoinks.
Yes. He's the famous leaker, Joe Miller is. All right, and That's Unconstitutional and his spouse accepted filthy, stinking, commie, socialistical government health care for themselves and their oversized batch of 8 right-wing welfare babies. Yes, that was the other breaking news that I mentioned earlier. He acknowledged in the past his family received assistance from federal Medicaid and Denali Kid Care, the state low-income health care program for he and his 8.
For his litter.
Litter of 8 other little wolf children. Although he wants no one else to have any government help of any kind. Joining, of course, Lou Dobbs on the... My goodness, he has considerably more sympathy for himself than he normally has for employers of illegal immigrants, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I never, ever used a contractor as a way in which to indirectly hire an illegal immigrant purposely. Never, never, he told GMA. He's been loudly responding to an article in The Nation, which is titled American Hypocrite, that claims Dobbs, who has been vocal in criticizing employers who hire illegal workers, has illegal laborers working for him on his properties.
Yeah.
Huh.
On his horse farm.
Yes. He has not seemed to accept that explanation in the past from employers, unwittingly, apparently. He didn't mean to, so I guess it's all right in his case.
Coming up in right-wing world, Michael Medved pretty much calls Lou Dobbs an asshat for denying all of this. It's funny.
58. T and then a he. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800 Step 1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Some days I'm glad we don't have cameras in here yet because Squeezy McPhil Pants is here and you don't want to know what he's just
doing.
The
cameras are coming back very, very, very soon.
Yeah, referring to my weekend. Okay, StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity / Squeezy McPhil Pants, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Neil with a great, this is hilarious, with a great email. Steph, Palladino said, have you seen what goes on at gay pride parades? There are men in Speedos rubbing up against each other. Has he seen Linda McMahon's WWE wrestling lately?
Yeah, exactly. People take their kids to that.
Has he come out about against her yet? What a dumbass.
And her company also worked with Girls Gone Wild.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's violent. It's not gay.
Mm. All right.
Manly men in tights.
It's
grabbing
Monday.
Each other's crotches while they're on. Oh, wait.
Dude.
That's different.
Oh, no.
That's different. Straight men grabbing each other's crotches, not in a gay way.
Right.
In a wrestly way.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's Monday. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Morning.
You know, this is the time I traditionally suck up to you by talking about your fabulous postings this week before we dive into right-wing world.
Yes.
But I do it sincerely because this is what I think is important. You know, we all know what we're going to find in right-wing world, on right-wing radio and in Fox News, but it's places like the L.A. Times, and you talked about how they botched their whore story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They made headlines by reporting that a private conversation between Democrat Jerry Brown and his aide inadvertently captured on voicemail revealed someone on the voicemail calling Meg Whitman a whore. The Brown campaign confirmed the authenticity of tape and issued an apology to Whitman. But the strange part was how the Times altered its reporting, at first claiming a Brown aide had used the slur and then changing the story, suggesting inaccurately that Brown himself might have been the one that said it. As you say, the New York Times notes today, it's not even clear whether Brown heard the comment, let alone said it. But as you said, anyone that's heard it is pretty clear that it was not him that said it.
Yeah, and it just gave an opening to folks like, of course, Fox News and right-wing bloggers for a while there to say Jerry Brown called Meg Whitman a whore. Because they could sort of fudge it because the L.A. Times, on Thursday night, they posted a very clear headline, Brown associate uses slur, you know, the very clear part was Brown associate. And then the next morning, it said Brown or associate uses slur. If you're going to suggest the candidate for governor of California use the slur, you ought to know. I mean, how often do you put this guy or that guy may have done it? We don't know. And then target, you know, a prominent politician like that. But then they still only posted one audio, and it was inconceivable that anyone would listen to that audio and think it's Jerry Brown. Jerry Brown's voice sounds like this for the first 3 minutes of the audio. And then you hear this horror comment, and it's so clear not him.
Right. And by the way, like people don't know in campaign offices all over the country that inappropriate things are probably uttered, And so what are you going to do? You know, they apologize, they fired the guy.
They didn't try to deny it. They apologized, and next time they should probably hang up the phone when they mean to hang up the phone before they start trashing people.
Exactly.
But through the Times to post one thing and then the next morning say, gee, we don't know, so we're going to suggest Jerry Brown is guilty of this.
Yeah, exactly. We've all gotten one of those voicemails where the person thinks they hung up and there's
hear
voicemail talking about you're like, wait a minute.
Hey.
but compare that as you talk about to Rush Limbaugh, who publicly basically called the, you know, the president a jackass last week. He's an economic illiterate and ignoramus, specifically talking about tax cuts. And you point out, hilarious, that Warren Buffett has said exactly the same things that the president has said. And so I guess he's also an ignoramus.
Yeah, yeah. Rush Limbaugh is going on, and he finally erupted in this jackass tirade, which made some headlines last week. What set him off was Obama had no understanding about taxes or the financial markets in America, and that the very, very rich had to get continued tax cuts.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that. And the really interesting part of what Limbaugh is talking about is basically saying the entire U.S. economy is driven by 1 or 2%, and those are the only people in America who matter, and we must pamper them to no end, which is an interesting idea. But yeah, Warren Buffett actually goes further than Obama, because Warren Buffett says that top 1 or 2% should be taxed even more.
Well, I guess he's a bigger jackass, economic illiterate, exactly. Ignoramus on the economy. That's how you make several billion dollars.
Yeah, this is the guy who flunked out of East Missouri City College or something. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world.
Denigrate the fine diplomas you get from East Missouri City College.
Which we endorse here at the Stephanie Miller Show. All right. Wow. So Michael Medved, did you hear about this? Eric had to take Lou Dobbs to task on that Nation piece.
The problem with Dobbs is not hypocrisy. The problem is just total disregard of the truth and the facts. And what strikes me about this is that Lou Dobbs did not get as much criticism as he deserved when he was still on the air on CNN about constantly and repeatedly giving wrong information. Now, here, it appears that what happened, and his wording was weasel words. Yes, he may never have hired an illegal. And yes, no company that he owns may have hired an illegal. But there are companies that he employed who did hire illegals, as many, many gardening companies and horse care companies apparently do. So he ought to just acknowledge that and then go on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, but when he's telling an untruth, he does that in that deep basso profundo voice. Yes. That sounds
well, that was so strange
like
when he went on the Lawrence O'Donnell show last week to defend, you know, and sort of squared off with this Nation writer.
Yeah.
And it was clear within 90 seconds, like, Lou didn't have a single fact on his side.
Yeah. Like on the birth certificate of the president reported on.
But that's the ego of these cable guys. Well, I'll go on TV and I'll convince everyone that I'm right, even though I don't, all the evidence points the other way. So he was clearly in over his head, and he couldn't rebut it, and it was sort of non-denial, and he should have just stayed home. But I think the ego in these guys, they can't take it when they're sort of called out, and they think they can just explain everything away.
Well, yeah, it reminded me of, you know, this caller on his radio show that was a birther, and, he, you know, what did Lou Dobbs say? Well, you certainly have a point. Like, what? No, you don't.
Yeah, it's on top of your head.
Exactly. All right. Ann Coulter. Oh, is she still around?
Yeah.
Oh, there was a New York Times piece on Norma Desmond of the right wing.
This is the way it always is with him, as David Limbaugh points out in his book. This thug union
Obama.
Community organizer language, putting the boot on the neck of BP, and Republicans bring a knife and we're going to bring a gun. You know, Democrats were upset with George Bush for talking tough with Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. This is how Obama talks to the Tea Partiers, to half of America, to the Republican Party.
Half of America? Really?
Wow.
Boy, you bad at math.
Or 2%. You know, this is a sort of a thing, and Mark Halpern at Time Magazine does it this week, which is basically Obama cannot defend himself. So his opponents can call him a racist and a tyrant and a Nazi and a liar and foreign-born.
Mm-hmm.
But if he does anything to defend himself, it's unseemly and it's out of bounds, and he shouldn't be wasting his time with this stuff.
He's a Chicago thug.
It's the most blatant double standard I've ever seen among media elites.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. All right. Oh, dear. Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck on the firemen that stood by and watched the house burn down.
I don't know how the firemen stood there and didn't do it, but they had to.
Oh,
here's what should have happened.
Yes.
Firemen should have put out the fire and charged him for the action. We put it out. If you don't pay the $75, you have to pay all the costs of us putting it out. You with me? No. Oh!
The idea here, Bill, you know what you're proposing?
What?
Obamacare.
Wow.
Wow.
But, you know, that was a very useful episode, I think, because libertarians or right-wingers, I mean, this was like the Tea Party Fire Department, basically saying we're not going to give services to everybody. I mean, it really did put in stark contrast. You know, what is Social Security? What is Medicare? What is what was the New Deal? It was things like police departments and fire departments. And this idea that, you know, we're going to pick and choose about who we serve and who we save, I think creeped a lot of people out, and people like Glenn Beck and some others have to defend it, which I think is good because it puts it in real-life terms. This is the kind of government that they're advocating.
And they don't mention that he offered to pay on the spot.
Absolutely.
The other thing for me lately is just the larger narrative of, you know, how mean have we gotten as
That's
a society?
Right.
I mean, the Humane Society came out and talked about, you know, the people don't talk about the three animals died. For those of us like me, that, you know, my dogs are like my kids. I mean, the fact that they stood there and let three animals die in the fire, it just, you know.
And what if there were kids in that house?
Exactly.
I mean, literally, from what I understand, that fire department would not have saved those kids. The fire chief has been quite clear. They made the right call. I mean, it is just insane, and it is mean-spirited, and that is sort of the Glenn Beck view of America and government.
Yep. All right, Bill O'Reilly on race relations. Huh? Bill O'Reilly on race relations. Here we go.
A problem segment tonight. Back in July 2009, 62% of Americans told a Rasmussen poll they thought race relations between black and white Americans were improving. But now that number has fallen to 36%, a stunning decline in a short period of time. So what happened? Well, I believe one of the big reasons that the far-left media often labels people who disagree with President Obama's policies racist.
Especially if they carry signs with pictures of him with a bone through his nose.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So Fox News doesn't have anything to do with race relations deteriorating, Eric. Yeah. Yeah.
No, and the whole new Black Panther charade from July and August had nothing to do with
Shirley Sherrod, the whole,
right, painting Obama as a black radical and talking about how Obama cares based on reparations. No, that had nothing to do with
it. It's the far-left media once again.
That's right.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Yeah, I think Jim Ward makes a good point there. We don't call opponents of Obama racist unless they happen to be carrying a sign of the president with a bone through his nose.
That's right.
And watermelons on the White House lawn. All right, 17
minutes.
And
he's a Nazi at the same time.
Exactly. 17 minutes after the hour, back with Eric Bollard and more right-wing world on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan. Let me rock it, every rock.
Stephanie Miller.
Every rock.
All right.
Up on the every rock
it,
rock it.
It is the, did we mention the Stephanie Miller Show? Yeah, I don't think you heard that.
No.
23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America remains in the sidecar to finish up Right Wing World. You know, this is one of the amazing things, Eric, how you've heard of Sean Hannity repeatedly says the Clinton-Gore recession, which apparently Bush inherited. And now Stuart Varney has jumped ahead for why the stock market is rallying.
May I ask you about the stock market? It touched 11,000 today. I believe it closed right around the 11,000 mark. What's with that? On the day that we find out that we've lost 95,000 jobs, we're ever deeper in debt. I'm smiling because I've got a theory, and it is that this market rally is a Republican rally. Investors see the Republicans sweeping big time in November and a change of economic policy, a change of course in our politics. They like it. They're rallying.
Wow.
This is one of the dopiest ongoing. I mean, remember in early 2009, the reason the stock market was tanking was because of Obama.
Yes.
And then it rebounded to 10,000, and then there was deafening silence. No one was responsible in Washington for the rebound. And now we're doing the stock markets, which are running up to an election. I mean, 2 months out, they're rallying on a daily basis. What possible economic change in policy will there be if Republicans elect 42 members of the House? Suddenly the House of Representatives is going to start setting economic policy in this country?
Yeah.
None of it makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's just,
I know. All right, let's finish with Rush Limbaugh on health care.
The unraveling of Obamacare, which is essential because it's an integral part of the excessive government overhang that is dragging down the private sector. We've got to do something about this. It's unsustainable, even before it's fully implemented. It's a destroyer. It is, in its own way, a nuclear weapon aimed at the American private sector, aimed at the American way of life.
So Obamacare caused the recession while Bush was in office? That's a pretty neat trick.
But what's interesting to watch is because we saw some headlines last week about some companies cutting back on health insurance coverage and supposedly blaming Obamacare. What's interesting is Limbaugh and the others are essentially rooting for companies to cut their health care insurance. They think it's a great – they love it when these companies are yanking their health care insurance because it proves their point. So this populist right-wing movement is cheering when big business may cut more health insurance, which pretty much tells you where this whole thing is really rooted.
Yeah. Well, let me, before you go, Eric, I've got one other, I don't know if you saw another on Fox News, another economic revisionist. Rick Santorum, did you see this? He appeared on Fox News to defend Newt Gingrich's absurd war on food stamps. And he, speaking of increased poverty rates during the recession, he boldly stated that Bush policies worked and resulted in the lowest poverty rates ever in the history of this country.
What?
For African Americans and single women, except that that's completely untrue.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it sounded good when he said it. Yeah. I'm sure people believed him.
Yeah. In fact, while the Bush wars were disastrous for the economy as a whole, they were particularly devastating for the poorest Americans. Under Bush, the number of Americans living in poverty jumped an astonishing 26.1%.
My God.
Yeah. And oddly enough, that slipped by on Fox News.
Yeah.
Unchallenged.
That fact check. Because, again, it sounded so good. A, they probably thought it was true to begin with. And B, when Santorum said it, it convinced them.
Exactly. Eric Bollard from Media Matters. See you next week, sir.
Talk to you soon.
All right, there he goes.
Yeah, it's up to 26%. That's good, right? It's a bigger number.
Yes.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah, you've done real good.
It's good what you've done, Anthony.
It's real good.
Beth in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Fire in Tennessee. Hello, Beth.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, good.
I was just thinking, $75, now that the house is burned down, the tax assessment, the assessed value will be substantially less, and so how much money are they going to lose on tax revenues versus $75?
Oh, exactly. I mean, and, Beth, I don't know if you're a pet owner like I am, but, I mean, really, I didn't even hear that. Do you know they lost 4 pets in the fire, 3 dogs and a cat?
Yeah, we had 3 pets. We just lost one of ours, but, yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
But, and the Humanist Society said it best. They had a statement. It's inexcusable that 3 dogs and a cat would have to die in such a horrible way with firefighters ordered not to intervene because of an unpaid $75 fee, as Jim points out again, that they offered to pay on the spot. I mean,
And the neighbor offered to pay more.
Yeah, it's not even about the money.
Right.
What I heard was the neighbor offered to pay $500, and then he offered to pay $5,000.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I mean, it's crazy, and they're going to lose how much in tax revenue. I mean, besides, if they're thinking the money, oh, you didn't pay your $75, well, sorry, you're losing that much times whatever in tax revenues.
Yeah.
Because you let the place burn down. If that's all you care about is the money, well, you made a bad decision.
Well, just, it's the larger question I asked earlier, Beth. It's just how mean have we gotten as a society? There's so many stories, but you just go, I guess for me, people go, oh, they're like your kids, but if you don't have kids like I do, they are my kids, and I'm going, I would end up, dying in the fire, too, because there's no way I would let my dogs, stay in a burning, and the fact that people are standing there with hoses,
It's sickening. I mean, it just makes your stomach turn.
Yep, absolutely. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No way.
Stephanie Miller.
You're cute. You got a great voice. You got personality. And you got a great voice.
What was that from? I don't know.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Glenn, I knew that there was some sort of, I was feeling a gaping void in my entertainment pleasure today. Glenn Beck is off the air today and tomorrow.
That's right. He's dealing with health issues.
Oh, and we wish him well. We don't know if there's any more botched ass surgery in his future.
We don't know what it is. Mental health issues. That's what I think.
Yes, the story didn't say what kind
of voices in my head.
All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Clay in Nashville, Tennessee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Clay.
Hey. You know, I hate to be the one liberal in the world who disagrees about the county, about the fire in Obion County, but you know, frankly, your previous caller's wrong. The fire department was supplied by the municipality of South Fulton. He lived in unincorporated Obion County. South Fulton's not going to lose any tax dollars over that house being burned down. He didn't pay any taxes for that service, nor did he. He had the ability to pay the subscription fee. He didn't pay that either. I live in Nashville. I don't expect taxpayers in the next county over, the next city over, to pay for my services.
Mm-hmm. So you think it's fine that they just let it burn down?
With three dogs and cats dying in a horrible death.
I'll tell you what, had it been my dogs in there, I would have been in there getting my dogs.
While it was on fire.
You know, the question is, why does Obion County not prosper?
Why does what?
Why do I get the feeling that he is not a liberal and that tax information was incorrect?
I am a liberal, but here's what I think. Them critters ought to have died because he didn't pay the $75.
I deserved it because he was too big a puss to endure a smoke inhalation to get his animals himself.
It's common human decency to put the fire out. Then you can negotiate the price of it afterwards.
And he offered to pay right there on the spot. The neighbor offered to pay several times the amount.
Jordan,
so it's not about the money.
Yeah. Jordan in Chicago, it's about humanity. Check into it sometime.
No, it's about the douchery of the...
Hello. Rand Paul's America.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Hi, Jordan. Go ahead.
Well, basically, regardless of the taxes, the whole thing is that if you have a mortgage on your home in this country, you are required by that lender to have a homeowner's insurance on your home in case of accidents like this. And so... regardless, fire is always going to be covered under the policy, and so whether the fire department puts out the fire or not, the insurance company is still going to be paying the full amounts to replace all of this property, and that's just skyrocketing everyone else's premiums. You know, fire departments save insurance companies millions of dollars a year because they put out the fire before, you know, the second half of the house burns down.
Well, I mean, by the way, what it was somebody earlier when we were talking about the pet, someone said, well, what if those have been kids in there? It's like it's not horrible enough to let four family pets burn to death? Like, it's just, it adds another layer that I don't get how people don't think that's a big deal, that doesn't add another layer of horrible in there. Steve in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Good morning, all.
Hello.
Glenn Beck is actually having his head extracted from his ass.
Oh, really? Okay, that could take a while.
Oh, that may improve his show. We may be able to hear him better.
No, according to Randy Rhodes, that he pays into the general fund. He noted that on Oberman, that he pays into the general fund in the taxes. That general fund was used to pay for that jail that they don't use. If they didn't vote, which was all Republican, to have that jail built, they would have had enough money in the general fund to pay for the fire department for the entire county.
Right, right. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
Well, it's the prison industry. There's a lot of private prisons out there, which puts pressure on politicians to create draconian laws to...
fill them.
To provide clients.
Yes, prisons don't make money unless they're completely built.
This is the whole Jan Brewer story.
Thank you. I was just going to say that. Neil in South Bend, Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Neil.
Hi. Hi. If we take this argument of Glenn Beck to its extreme, let's think about 9/11 for just a second. Two skyscrapers were hit by airplanes. Occupants were from all over, not just New York City.
Right.
Money-grubbing, slovenly, government employees called firefighters and policemen ran into those buildings to save people. And they didn't ask, where did they pay their taxes?
Right. Yep.
Those were paid by New York City, those firefighters.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Who went in? Government employees.
That's right.
And they didn't care whether the person lived in New Jersey or Delaware or any other state.
Yeah.
And they didn't care whether the landlord of the World Trade Center paid their taxes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because
it
would be up to the landlord to pay the taxes in order to get the fire service.
You know, and then there, Neil, too, where you come to just the human element of it, too. I mean, yes, it's their job, but it still takes at least a braver person than I to run into a burning building when everyone else is running out. Yeah.
Exactly. But the point is they're government employees.
Yep, exactly. Thank you. David in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Hey, candidates such as Cara Palladino and Christine O'Donnell, they don't really care about the positions that they're running for. They just want to make these outrageous statements. They want to outdo each other because they all want TV spots. In Christine O'Donnell's case, a lot of her aides used to work for her back in 2006 when she was running for Senate, corroborated the fact that she's a media whore. Plain and simple.
Yep.
I think Palladino should do one of those ads. Well, I'm not a psychopath. I'm you. And I hate you.
Well, we kind of knew that Christine O'Donnell was a media whore from her 21 appearances.
That's her 1,000 appearances on anything that, anybody that called.
Politically incorrect, yeah.
That's just because Bill likes her.
How many times were you on Bill Politically Incorrect?
I don't remember. That was
six or seven, maybe?
You know what? Everything after Rod Steiger asked me on a date, everything went blank.
That was on the set of Politically Incorrect.
Everything sort of went blank.
And he's no longer with us. If you married him, you could have gotten all his money.
Shortly, between the time that Ted Nugent flipped me the bird on Politically Incorrect and Rod Steiger asked me on a date, I blanked everything else out.
Was this before or after Liz Taylor?
That's what I asked him when he called me. He said, you want to have dinner? And I was like, are you asking me on a date? And he was like, yes. He was very screamy.
Yes.
He was very screamy. He's like, you want to go or not? And I was like,
deaf.
Aren't you dating Liz Taylor?
Anyway. You've had a strange dating life.
Oh, heavens.
What if Carl Palladino wanted to date you? I'll take you out. I'm going to take you out. We're going to have dinner and watch a movie. Just watch.
That was very, very funny,
that
Jim.
That was very funny. Oh, take me out. Oh, on a date, you mean?
Oh,
not
yeah,
kill
that's
me.
What I meant.
Not kill
sure.
me.
Sure.
Okay.
Keep thinking that.
By the way, speaking of Christine O'Donnell and Carl Palladino, in the interest of all of the gay kids that are killing themselves, can you, in the name of God, in the name of common decency, shut up for a minute about what's wrong with gay people? Can you put a moratorium? Can we have a little, let's have just a moment of decency in America. How about that?
I think part of the reason for the increase in bullying is because of the increased acceptance of homosexual marriage.
Yes, that's what I'm wondering, if it's just like a backlash.
That just makes these guys crazy.
Yeah. I mean, but he picks the weekend where there's this horrible, gruesome anti-gay violence in New York to open his big pie hole about, what did he say? Children shouldn't be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is acceptable.
That's right.
And Andrew Cuomo marched in a gay parade.
And Andrew Cuomo brought his daughter to a gay pride parade.
Yes, exposing her to all that
pretty much
diversity
abuse.
And tolerance. Yeah. And, ugh. Okay, let's go.
There are probably some things at the gay pride parade that young kids shouldn't see.
There's things at all parades that kids shouldn't see.
Exactly.
Something about parades that makes people
things
crazy.
Things at the WWE that kids shouldn't see.
Charles in Los Angeles. Hey, Charles.
Yes, Stephanie. Looks like there's some quid pro quo going on between the Republicans and some of this foreign money coming into the country. Last week in September, they voted against the Senate Bill 3816, which would have made it easier for companies to keep jobs in this country instead of just send them offshore, and it would have eliminated the tax advantages.
Mm-hmm.
So you had Republicans voting against American jobs and for foreign jobs. Not one Republican voted for that bill.
Yep.
And so I said, well, why is that? Now I come to find out that you got this foreign money coming in, getting laundered through the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and being used to help their campaigns.
Yep, exactly. You know, the president, talking about this this weekend in Illinois, he was saying he singled out Karl Rove for meddling in the race through special interest funded attack ads.
That's right.
And he's right. He said right here in Illinois in this Senate race, two groups funded and advised by Karl Rove have outspent the Democratic Party 2-1 in an attempt to beat Alexei Giuliani, who I've met and is delightful.
Alexei?
And you should vote for. Yes. 2-1, funded and advised by Karl Rove. The president said he also continued talking about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, one of the largest groups paying for these ads, citing a recent report that showed some of the group's money has come from foreign companies, which is what he said right after the Citizens United decision came down. He said, So for the question for the people of Illinois, are you going to let special interests from Wall Street and Washington and maybe places beyond our shores come to this state and tell us who our senators should be? Chicago proved them wrong. Let's show Washington one more time that change doesn't come from the top. It doesn't come from millions of dollars of attack ads. Change happens from the bottom up. And that's what you have to hope, that, you know, like the Meg Whitman, Jerry Brown cases, what do you call it, race out here is proving that you can't, hopefully you can't buy the American people's votes.
I think this is a national security issue. If
yeah,
China
I do too.
Is buying, absolutely. Buying votes, that's something that CIA and FBI should be looking
yeah,
at.
Yeah, yeah. Although Samuel Alito said that's not true. That's just not true.
Yeah, it is.
It is true, Sam. Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks for playing.
But thanks. Thanks for playing along. Thanks for your lip syncing during the president's speech. All right. Let's take a quick one for the break. Lou in Vermont, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lou.
Hi. I'm a retired high school principal, and I'm getting sick and tired of the Dements and Paladinos knocking the gays. I had a number of gay teachers, and they were by far the best teachers I had. I never had one problem with them. I probably had more problems with my straight teachers than I did with the gays.
Yeah, Lou, did you read the story this weekend about some teacher that, like, threw a desk and then threw a chair through a window? Straight guy, but went nuts in the classroom? I mean...
Yeah, yeah, that's perfectly okay, after
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
You it's know, good, but strong, manly rage.
Yeah, I remember one of our teachers beat up a kid in some sort
yeah.
of macho little...
How manly
yeah.
is that?
But
yeah.
that's okay, because, you know, boys will be boys, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, I remember this teacher had a guy in a headlock in my high school, like, history class. And I thought... And you're right, I remember we had a couple of gay teachers. Of course, in Catholic school, no one, like, mentioned that they were gay. We just called him Father Liberace. But he was amazing, a great teacher and hugely popular, a funny,
well,
you know...
I tell you, they were the best I had without... any reservation,
uh-huh.
and I never had one problem with them, and, I, you know, they've all, I'm straight, 83 years old, and they're still my friends, and I've worked with them for well over 25 years.
And it yeah. didn't rub off?
And so,
wow.
So I get kind of ticked off at that.
Yeah, well, good for you.
New York.
Lou, you're one of the good guys. Thanks for that. I wish he was still running things. 46 minutes after the hour. President also talking about the economy this weekend. We'll talk about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's our midterm song. Get up! Get off the couch. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim, I have a guess the quote, speaking of which. Who said of the president, he has a spectacular God-given gift of communication. I just want him to use it to communicate to the American people what Republicans stand for. Who said that?
Either Beanie or Cecil.
No. Paul Begala, the best pundit in the
course.
World. With just 3 weeks before Election Day, President Obama will spend his time, much as he did in the final weeks of his own campaign. He's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The president out talking about the economy. Yesterday.
We've now seen 9 straight months of private sector job growth. In all, more than 850,000 private sector jobs gained this year,
what?
Which is in sharp contrast to the almost 800,000 jobs that we were losing when I first took office.
What? But Rick Santorum just said on Fox News yesterday that everything was better under Bush economically.
People still listen to Rick Santorum?
Oh, man, I'm dog.
Didn't he lose?
There's a teacup terrier that's calling. Please. Get off of Fox News. Okay.
Yes, the trend line in private sector job growth is moving in the right direction. But I'm not interested in trends or figures as much as I am interested in the people behind them, the millions of honest, hardworking Americans swept up in the most devastating recession of our lifetimes. As I've said before, the only piece of economic news that folks still looking for work want to hear is you're hired.
Liz in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Liz.
Good morning,
come
guys.
On.
And because I just woke up and I haven't had any coffee, I can't think of the right word for what I want to talk about. But anyway, back to your Karl Rove against the president, or president against Karl Rove. Karl Rove struck back on Fox and called Obama's charges against him and the GPS, the baseless, the charge is baseless.
Right.
But I don't know if you noticed in his retort, Karl Rove said, this is desperate, and I think it's a disturbing trend that the president of the United States to tar his political adversaries. And I just thought that was just such a disgusting use of that word.
Yeah, well, and Karl Rove, who is specialized in the tarring of political adversaries his entire life, the president talking about the economy.
Would have been even worse without the federal help that we've provided to states over the last 20 months. Help that the Republicans in Congress have consistently opposed.
Not according to the boner. John.
It looks a lot like the reports we've seen every month since President Obama signed the stimulus spending bill into law. Unemployment is high, millions of Americans are out of work, private sector job creation remains flat. That's what you got for your $787 billion worth of spending. High unemployment, a bigger government, and an economy struggling to create jobs.
Mm-hmm. And 3.3 million more jobs than we would have had had we not had
the... Like I said, no jobs at all. Not a single job.
Yeah, he was sounding a little lispy there,
wasn't
he?
He was kind of lispy. I don't know what's going on.
Millions of Americans are out of work. Private sector job creation remains flat. That's what you got for your $787 billion worth of spending. High unemployment, a bigger government, and an economy struggling to create jobs.
Didn't he just say that?
I think he did. I think I might have gotten that twice.
Flipping.
Oh, I thought he was repeating himself.
No, I think I might have gotten that twice from two different sources.
Let's have a new boner, shall we?
We have to stop all of the coming tax hikes, and we have to cut spending. And to get all of this done, we need to change the Congress itself now.
Yeah! Yeah! Oh, back the way it was!
Wait until you hear this next soundbite before you start.
Do we get another hell no you don't something?
Yeah, it's something slightly different.
Your government is out of control. Do you have to accept it? Do you have to take it?
No!
Hell no, you don't!
Throw it in reverse and floor it!
Oh, boy.
Don't look in the mirror. Just go.
Can't be right. You might as well be loud.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Doug in Arizona. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I was listening to the comments about the fire in Tennessee. And I just wanted to talk a little bit. In here, I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. And we used to have a subscription fire department that would let your house burn to the ground if you didn't pay your subscription.
Rural Metro. I remember them, yes.
Nice.
Yep. Uh-huh. And really, you know, the comments about the tax base, the reason you get into the problem in the first place is because you have a for-profit fire department.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have to collect their subscription money.
Right.
Jeez, that works just as well as our for-profit healthcare industry, doesn't it?
Well, that was exactly my point, is that, you know, if you have to, the fire department has got to make an example of a person that doesn't pay their subscription. They can't let them pay at the scene. That's sort of like the individual mandate on health insurance. If you don't make people pay, then they won't buy it until their house is burning down.
Well, it's just like the mafia.
You didn't pay your protection money.
Yeah,
look,
be ashamed. Something would happen to your house. Oops, it's happening. Tim in Buffalo. Hey, Tim.
Exactly. That previous caller made the exact point I was going to call. But
damn him.
Yeah, I know. But your logic is flawed on, of course it's a tragedy, the whole situation in Tennessee. But how could you ever expect them to go in and then say, oh, yeah, we'll take the $75 afterwards? I mean, it's like any insurance, once that county or whatever it was had set it up like
Tim,
that, it's just insurance.
Tim,
just like
human decency and lives were lost.
Yeah, wait a minute. When I'm the fireman, there's a substantial risk for me to go and start putting out this fire.
Well, that's why you're a fireman.
Yeah, that's why you're
that's
a fireman.
Part of the job.
Yes. I'm a fireman.
They call it firefighter for a reason.
I understand, but do you think they wander around? I'm employed by this company or whatever their agency is, and there's certain risk of going into this house.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, and,
so
and firefighters understand that risk and have trained for those risks.
If you don't accept that risk, don't be a fireman.
Let me just tell you this person in Tennessee, I think he has some great homeowners policy or something like this. What if somebody gets hurt in there? All of a sudden, you know, a propane thing explodes or something like these horrible fire incidents.
Pets' lives were lost.
But let's say the workman's comp doesn't cover if you go put out fires randomly that aren't covered by our our program.
What? Yeah, firemen
nonsense.
Shouldn't be putting out fires willy-nilly, randomly.
No, not at all.
Only the ones that are authorized.
They should be worried about who's paid up. That's what they should be thinking about, not fighting fires.
WTF. All right.
It's Rand Paul's America.
Mm,
that's
okay.
What he wants.
Edie McClurg next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Every woman now using Preparation H suppositories should switch to
Stephanie Miller.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, the dog whisperer. Our guest on tomorrow's show.
That's right. Cesar Millan.
Yes. Along with Energy Secretary Stephen Chu and comedian Julie Brown. She's a new album out.
That's right.
You know, she debuts all her albums here on the Stephanie Miller Show. It's very, very exciting. She was at, you remember the Sarah Palin song from the campaign.
Look out! The girl VP's got a gun!
Yes.
Everybody. Got a gun.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. It's Monday, so you know what that means.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore.
Edie McClurg.
It's like you were listing all the Republican candidates in the midterms there. Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
You seem to have more commentating notes than normal this morning.
It gives me a false sense of security.
You seem to have gone insane with your Sharpie there.
Well...
Are you all right?
No, I just printed out an awful lot of stuff in case you come across any of these topics.
Yes, all right. Well, let's talk about teabaggers in midterms. Jim, I have a guess the quote for you this morning. Said, I already did one of them, so you should remember. Okay. Who said, Democrats are still trying so hard to make voters love them, but this isn't a love election, this is a hate election, and they didn't need to make voters hate Republicans. And I don't see enough of that. Put the other side on trial. Who said that?
Ho Chi Minh.
No. Paul Begala, the best pundit in the world. And I think that's true, don't you, Edie? I think that you, and it cannot be pointed out enough what asshats many of these Republican candidates are this year.
Yes, that's to be sure.
I mean, where do you even start? You can email us all at StephanieMiller.com. Carol in Central Massachusetts. Steph, here's an important fact from your unofficial psychotherapist of the Stephanie Miller Show. Believing you have direct communication with God is delusional. It is a symptom of mental illness. As a Christian, I find it arrogant that Ms. O'Donnell or anyone believes they can recognize and receive the direct word of God and have a certainty about the message. Yeah, you would have think that would have been the first thing that Delaware voters might have thought was a little, that she heard the audible voice of God during the primary.
Well, that could be because, you know, there's an awful lot of whooshy-whooshy in the air, and, you know, it could have come right through her empty head.
Sure. Apparently God said credibility is what she said. She heard, which I would think he meant you have no credibility.
Yes, she missed the first part.
You are an airhead. You should get out of this race. But, she was just on she's doing the TV now, Chris. What's going on? She was on the TV, asked about global warming. Is it man-made? Does human activity contribute to global warming? She said, I don't have an opinion on that.
You are an idiot.
That is stunning, isn't it, Jim?
So what,
she's one of the foremost
opinion.
Scientists in our country, what with the whole knowing about the mice with fully functioning human brains and all.
And
she's
monkeys evolving in front of our eyes.
Yes. Yes.
Well, there's a lot of monkeys already in Congress. So
hi,
you well, the thing is that here, this DeMint.
Yes, Jim DeMint.
Jim DeMint.
Now with Retson.
Please, well, elect some of his junior DeMints, won't you?
Well, he says that we are going to be having fewer women in Congress, and he's happy about that because... He feels that unmarried women should not be allowed to be teachers if they are sexually active.
Yes.
And you would... like, hello? Would they be telling men who are sexually active.
I know. He did not mention that.
No.
Yes.
I think there's been a great deal more rape, if you will, by male teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing is, we were talking about, this Carl Palladino, what's his slogan again, Jim? I forget.
Nothing I can say on the air.
What are you looking at?
I'm crazy and I don't care who knows it.
I mean, just, you think, have we just not, is there not some level of human decency left?
No.
Even though it's a political season. So there
human
is this,
decency is gay.
I don't know if you heard about this New York anti-gay gang violence this weekend that was just beyond horrific. The story, I read it first in the LA Times, apparently angry that a recruit was gay, the attackers tortured him and two others while yelling anti-gay insults. A fourth victim attacked and robbed. Members of a street gang discovered one of the recruits is gay, so they attacked the teenager, brutally beating and torturing him and two other people in gruesome assaults over the weekend. The first victim was grabbed by gang members, taken to an empty Bronx apartment. He was stripped, beaten, sodomized with a wooden plunger handle. Using information gained from their interrogation of that recruit, the attackers then descended on another 17-year-old thought to have had a relationship with the 30-year-old. The second teen was assaulted at 8:30. The 30-year-old arrived thinking he was going to a party. He was stripped to his underwear, tied to a chair opposite the teen, who was forced to burn him with cigarettes in his genitals. They beat the 30-year-old, forced him to drink all 10 of these small liquors they made him bring, and sodomized him with a baseball bat. The beatings went on, I guess, for hours and hours and hours. And, you know, and that this weekend, Carl Palladino, the Republican candidate for governor, picks to say children should not be brainwashed into thinking homosexuality is acceptable and criticize.
You see what happens?
Yeah. Andrew Cuomo for marching in a gay pride parade. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, it just seems like we're at some kind of, I don't know, Lord of the Flies moment in our. Oh, by the way, here's my favorite fiscal conservative story, Jim, because these are, you know, they're running on this whole big government, we're spending too much, that's why you have to elect Republicans.
Mm.
They don't seem very wise with what they're paying for their Caribou Barbie endorsements these days. Christine O'Donnell should check her campaign's bank statements, you know, and she's usually so responsible with money.
Oh, yeah.
This seems odd for someone that's been so
wonderful
good at hanging on to houses and jobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She should check her campaign's bank statements before booking Sarah Palin for a campaign visit. It cost another female Republican candidate more than $100,000 to have a joint campaign rally with Sarah Palin. Georgia gubernatorial candidate Karen Handel, they paid a charter jet service $92,000 to fly in Caribou Barbie and her whatever. She also paid an additional $13,000 to the Intercontinental Hotel. Ooh, somebody was, the
having
hillbilly grifter
time.
Was breaking into the minibar, I guess, for the event. Her campaign committee reported being $28,000 in debt in the same report, and Handel went on to lose.
Oh. And then the HUA took off with all the money.
Yeah.
After her wise investment in Caribou Barbie.
Pouring herself out all around the country. Amen! I'm a wonderful woman! And you cannot tell me I'm not a wonderful woman! No!
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I wonder how much Carly Fiorina is paying for Caribou Barbie's disastrous endorsement out here in California, which appears to be dragging her campaign under.
Baby.
I think Sarah Palin we can only is so hope. Yesterday.
Yeah, apparently her endorsement is. Here's, you know, Jim, how this happens. You're photographed one time in a Nazi uniform, and right away you're a Nazi.
Oh.
Well, why did I know it would be a Republican hopeful photographed in a Nazi?
Tarring them with a wide brush, I think.
It's sort of like the Civil War reenactors. You got some people playing Confederates, but it's still, SS uniform.
There's genocide involved there.
Well,
yes, GOP Republican congressional candidate Rich Lott has a photo surfaced online with him in a Nazi uniform. It was a Civil War reenactment, but the Holocaust reenactment? I don't understand.
No, just battles. They were reenacting World War II battles.
To put on their little outfits.
Right.
Is it me, Jim? It seems unwise. If you're a candidate for an office of some sort.
And if you really look at their eyes in those pictures, they're very bleary. I think they were, knocking back some Boilermakers.
Schnapps.
Course. Excuse me.
Who was the candidate? Wasn't somebody also photographed in a Civil War reenactment costume and brought a black person with them as a slave because it was, you know, funny. This was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, had a little rope around the neck and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, hilarious.
My question with that is what... What was up with the black person? Would you like
money.
To dress as a slave and go party with me?
With a noose around your neck?
Yes.
Gave him
sure.
big money to yeah. do that, I'm sure.
I guess. I mean, we've all been out of work as actors. I have more than you two who are successful. But would you still go, why, yes, I would like to dress as a slave and go to a...
Not today.
Just wondering how much cash that would take. All right. I mentioned the other candidate, Joe Miller, who was on the... Yes.
Right-wing hypocrite!
He received Medicaid benefits he thinks are unconstitutional. Much like Sharon Engel received that there.
Right.
Socialistical government health care.
What?
Republican candidate Joe Miller has repeatedly claimed that federal health care benefits violate the Constitution. It turns out that he doesn't actually think the Constitution applies to himself.
Right.
He acknowledged that he received the very kind of federally funded health care benefits he believes to be unconstitutional.
For everyone else.
Yes. Not well, Rand Paul doesn't believe in Medicare payments unless it's
right.
to him as Dr. Rand
right.
Paul because he... Yes, in the past his family, he has eight. Eight children, my goodness. No wonder.
I think that's over the limit, isn't it? Don't they have
Edie McClurg in charge of the limit here.
Outside of Utah.
Well, yes. You can't take more than 15 crappie out of the river. Why do you...
And you would know that.
I'm from Missouri, but...
I know. When Edie's here, it's sort of like a comedy show meets the farm report. She brings such colloquial charm. Yes, he acknowledged that they received assistance from the federal Medicaid and Denali Kid Care, the state low-income health care program.
Low-income health care?
What's that?
Low-income?
He is saying, I am low-income, and
well,
therefore...
Well, once if you have eight kids...
Eight kids, you're
that's a lot. That's too many crappies.
Line, aren't you? Okay.
He also, here's why I don't...
It's a lot of crappie diapers to change.
Why would you vote for someone that tells you in advance they're going to shut the government down, that that's their idea of how to run the government?
Oh, there's
Joe
a
Miller.
Lot of people out there doing that today.
Yes, a lot of a number of Republicans beginning to rally around the idea of shutting the
sure.
government, shutting this sucker down.
They have to burn the government in order to save it.
Yes, Joe Miller pitching his tent in the government shutdown camp. He is not only openly endorsing a government shutdown if he's elected, he also told National Review that Mitch McChinless has put the option on the table.
Uh-huh.
So, there you go. That's what you'll get.
Except for his Medicare payments. That
yes,
part's
no, don't be ridiculous. All right, and his the money for his lettuce leaves and his terrarium. Yertle.
I need some government assistance to find some more lettuce leaves. The ones I've been fed have been substandard.
18 minutes after the hour, back with more Mondays with McClurg as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Welcome to another edition of I Say It Here, It Comes Out There.
Outrageous comedy bits we do during the commercial break
yes.
become real breaking news. So, Carl Palladino, speaking to a Jewish group over the weekend did a little gay bashing.
Yes.
Uh-huh. He said that children should not be brainwashed into thinking homosexuality is acceptable and criticized Andrew Cuomo for marching in a gay pride parade.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And
this morning, Palladino blames anti-gay comments on prepared comments given to him by Hasidic group.
He blamed the Jews for his unfortunate comments about the gays.
They're behind everything.
So the Jews
See?
Lit the ovens themselves,
it's
eh?
Proof.
Yes.
They made me do it.
Somehow Rick Sanchez is going to get dragged into this before the end of the news cycle. Oh, boy. We are in the midst of the Mondays with McClurg. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Billy in Texas on Christine O'Donnell. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
Listen, for you to make a statement representing that candidate O'Donnell heard the actual voice of God is defamation.
She said that. She said she heard the audible voice of God. She
God
said that during the primary.
God
she said that he said credibility. Pardon me?
God speaks to us in a lot of ways. And you can, when you're seeking guidance from above,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can put a voice to it if you want, but to suggest that she heard God from out the hallway say credibility is flat defamation. That's not what she said.
She said, I heard the audible voice of God. How am I defaming her by repeating that she said she heard the audible voice of God?
Well, you're representing that she heard the actual voice of God.
She said, I heard the audible voice of God.
You know, y'all do this all the time.
Yeah, representing by quoting them directly.
Quote them directly all you want, but you put a spin on it, and you employ sophistry.
How else can you spin, I heard the audible voice of God?
When you see a sunset, you're like, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard in the world, or seen in the world, thank you, God, type of thing. That's, you know, you could say,
that's not what
God.
She said. She said, and I will repeat, I heard the audible voice of God during the primary, and he said credibility.
How dare you quote her like that?
Yeah.
You're putting this verbal spin on it, as if she'd actually said the words, I heard the audible
what
voice
I
of God,
thought...
when what she said was, I heard the audible voice of God. Look what you're doing, woman.
And then she heard... plastics.
Yeah. Got one more for you, Benjamin.
Plastics. Well, I said the reason why it's mostly ridiculous. We all know God doesn't pay attention until the actual, you know,
the final
midterms.
Yeah.
Nobody doesn't pay attention to the primaries.
No.
It's like, why did the sports people bother praying to him before it's the playoffs? He's not paying attention.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Right around the Super Bowl, the World Series, he starts.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. He doesn't pay attention until the actual Grammys are voted on. He doesn't care during the... All right. Mary in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, Steph. I want a response to these folks who are defending the actions of the fire department in Tennessee.
Yes, but how do you defend the actions of anybody that stood by while pets were dying in anguish?
Well, these are the same folks who think that government can't do anything right. So what happens when you pay your subscription and because of a clerical error, you're not on the list?
Right.
And you're sitting there saying, I paid. I'll show you the check stub, but it's burning. You know, it's ridiculous. You pay.
Yeah, right. And then what do you say? Oh, sorry. I'll get you another dog that looks just like that one. You know, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Well, sorry about the clerical error, Mr. Buttle.
Exactly.
It's Brazil.
Jeff in Atlanta says the boner is a lying boner. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. Just Boner and all the other Republicans, it's a flat-out lie that the stimulus spent $787 billion in government spending. About 40% of that were tax cuts, and part of that were the, you know, tax cuts that went to 95% of Americans. Now, there's an argument that's kind of a less efficient way to stimulate the economy, but it's a flat-out lie to say that it's $787 billion worth of spending. And these are the same people that turn around and say continuing the Bush tax cut for the rich is not government spending and won't put us deeper in the hole.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely right. That's what I was saying. It's not an opinion when you're looking at economics and math. You know, there are a number of jobs we're losing when Bush left office, and there are a number of jobs that quantitatively have been, you know, caused by the stimulus.
But that's not the point. The point is that 40% were tax cuts. Right. That's not government spending.
Yep. All right. I think he was calling from the movies. Isn't that thing you hear before the movie starts? You know what I'm saying? Never mind. 29 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's just that musical crescendo that kept appearing when he was talking. 29.
I thought you meant the audible voice of God.
Maybe I'm hearing something and no one else is. God says I should play commercials now. 29 minutes after the hour so an angel can get its wings. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What about
Stephanie Miller?
She'll be fine. Just keep her out of the liquor cabinet.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use the offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. We are in the mistresses of Mondays with McClurg and the
Can
delightful.
Can you do a little shout-out to Miss Conchata Farrell, who was the voice that was just on here?
Yes!
Because
shout
she
out.
Is one of the finest character actors ever.
Spoken by one of the finest character actors ever, Evie McClurg.
Please.
Who's been in everything ever. As we find out every week, she's been in something else we didn't remember. And we were like, oh, yes, of course you were in that.
Some we'd like not to remember.
But I'm guessing you have never worn a Nazi uniform, informally or formally.
No. Okay. I've worn Amish uniforms. I mean, garb.
Bill in Los Angeles on the Republican candidate photographed in the Nazi outfit. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, you guys, and happy birthday, Steph.
Thank you.
This is regarding the Gestapo Waffen SS admiring Ohio Republican candidate. I think his name is Iyat. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Eric Cantor is the only Jewish Republican in Congress.
Yes.
And I would like to know what he kind of feels about this candidate, whether he endorses him or whether he thinks this is kind of yucky, because the guy is getting together with a group of his buddies and dressing up like SS officers. I would think...
Cantor last week sort of inadvertently... He sort of admitted that Republicans tend to be kind of uncompassionate asshats. He, when asked why he's the only Jewish Republican, he said he believes the American Jewish community is overwhelmingly Democratic because Jews are prone to want to help the underdog.
This is exactly my point, and so I would suggest that you guys try to find out his Democratic adversary out of Glen Allen. I think it's Glen Allen Richmond that he represents. Have him on your show, and I bet you Rachel will have that guy on her show, and Keith will have that guy, and Big
Ed. Oh, yeah, because everything starts here. I'm very influential.
Yes,
why
you are.
Why the laughter?
Oh, there was an amelioration there.
Roger in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Mondays with McClurg. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Stephanie. Good morning.
Yes.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in as far as the... I don't know, you kind of taken into the, a level to where we're, kind of bashing the fire department for, the fact that they did not do their job that they were hired to do.
I'm not really bashing the fire department. They obviously were under orders.
Well, you know what? I mean, on a national level and all your listeners, I've listened to your show for a while, and to be quite honest, the fact should be taken that everybody should know what their fire department is capable of doing. Where you live, in the middle of Colorado or California or in rural Tennessee.
Does it matter where you live if you're a human being and you know there's three animals suffering and dying in a house and a guy is standing there saying, I'll give you the $75 now, to put this out?
Well,
being, you shouldn't put it out?
You know, that's the headline, okay? But, honestly, every fire department don't operate the same way.
So only some are supposed to put out fires?
Well, I mean, you got to know what you're paying for. I mean, for this instance, they did not. They are outside of a rural Tennessee. You know, you cut off the first guy that was actually telling the truth. You cut off this guy's family lives outside of a city fire department where we are also required by our insurance companies.
Human beings, if this were your house, would you feel the same way? Would you be this rational?
Okay. You risk a lot to save a lot. Okay, that's the mantra in the fire department.
You know what, though?
Okay?
They stood there and watched the house burn, and then when it spread to the house next door, they started to put that fire out.
Okay, why? You guys, you've always had an intelligent show. You've always done your research.
Why? So because the guy, have you ever, has it ever slipped your mind? This poor guy even said he didn't do it on purpose. Mm-hmm. He slipped his mind. You know, a lot of us, how many times have you left a bill somewhere and forgotten about it or whatever? You think he deserved to have his three dogs and cat die in a fire and have his entire house burn down? And perhaps endanger other people by not putting it out?
You know what? I mean, we're going down the wrong road. I definitely don't agree that them not doing their job, what they're supposed to do.
And watched it burn while animals inside perished.
That's a fact.
That's inhuman, sir. That is inhuman.
Fire stations in every major city are shut down in brownouts, and we're not going after the headlines where people are dying in Baltimore and in New York because the politicians are shutting down firehouses because they don't want to pay us anymore. The first two things to go in public service are policemen and firemen.
Okay. Well, that's exactly why we don't think, it should be a for-profit industry. God, I can't believe it. We've gotten into these arguments somehow human decency is left in the.
Why not put out the fire and then deal with the financial elements later?
Yeah.
What their mission, your job is to put out fires if you're a firefighter.
Well, I was saying, Carl Palladino opening his...
Leave all the political considerations out.
Yeah. His homophobic pie hole when these gay suicides, these teenagers, it's like, really? Are there two sides to that issue? Really? Are there people that think, are we catering to the people like that were during the AIDS crisis saying, oh, good, it's killing the right people? Is that kind of the, is that the underbelly? Is it really that dark? Like, oh, well, good. The right, you know, it's thinning the herd. Like, is there two sides to wanting kids to die in America? It's like you just said, Chris, is there two sides to a human being watching a house burn down while there's dogs and cats dying inside? Over $75.
There's just too much tolerance around. That's the problem. Oh. That's what right-wingers think. Tolerance is weak.
Oh, I saw, Jim, we saw, Chris and I both saw A Social Network. Not together, because we don't spend any time, any second longer together than we need to. But, but no, did you see it yet? So, about Facebook? The you know, the birth
the
of
movie?
Facebook? Yeah.
No.
Social Network. Have you seen?
Not yet.
It's good.
Really good.
Yeah. But, I mean, we were saying that, you know, that Facebook, like anything else, has been used as a tool to bully people or to humiliate people. And
well, so, you know, it's like the hammer could be used to build a house or knock someone's brains in.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tool, and any tool can be abused.
Yeah, and that's what I've asked over and over. Are we just getting meaner as a society? You know, just we were talking about this horrible violence in New York this weekend, the anti-gay gang violence. There was a story in the New York Times about how girls are bullying each other. It seems like
it's in other places too. England has had its share of kids just not even officially in gangs, but going around just beating the hell out of people for fun.
Right.
How long ago was Clockwork Orange? How long ago?
1970.
There you are.
Yeah, but I mean, and, you know, in the Rutgers case, but delisted. I mean, you just don't know if you can take one more just awful story. But the award, they have the award for 2010's worst piece of downriver trash goes to, let's see, what's her name exactly? Blah, blah, blah. I'll find it. Oh, Jennifer Lynn Petkoff. Delisted writing, making fun of a kid is one thing, but wishing a dark-sided on a 7-year-old girl with a degenerative brain disorder who lost her mother to the same disease. Satan just removed his horns, dropped his pitchfork, and quit this bitch. Hell's newest ambassador is Jennifer Lynn Petkoff of Trenton, Michigan. She's accused of harassing 7-year-old Kathleen Edward because of a dispute with her family. A member of Kathleen's family says it all started 2 years ago when they threw a kid's party in front of their house with a bouncy house and games. Jennifer texted Kathleen's family asking if she could bring her own kids to the family or to the party. A response didn't come fast enough for Jennifer, and she's been tormenting the family ever since. When she recently posted a picture of young Kathleen's face above a set of crossbones on her Facebook page, and also added a picture of the Grim Reaper embracing Kathleen's mother. When My Fox News asked Jennifer why she posted that, she said, "Personal satisfaction, because it rubs their ass raw, burns their ass, because it burns Rebecca Rose's ass raw to make fun of her dead daughter on that page. Take it or leave it."
Wow. I think we're probably being mentally poisoned to be turned into a bunch of psychopaths.
Yeah.
It's part of just diminish the population. Get rid of the surplus population, as Dickens wrote. It just seems, and part of that is, you know, Fox News, just getting people into, they don't even know what they're angry about.
Yeah, it's just, a culture of meanness and anger and just,
And it's a denigration of a person who has accomplished something. Rush Limbaugh is very...
Yeah.
He goes, "I think I'm going to send Sotomayor and her club a bunch of vacuum cleaners to help them clean up after their meetings."
Funny, that's a Latina-made joke.
And about Hillary Clinton, "Will Americans want to watch a woman get older before their eyes on a daily basis?" And that woman, by the way, is not going to want to look like she's getting older, because it'll impact poll numbers. It'll impact perceptions. It's like, these people have attained something.
Yeah, are we too sexist a country to elect Hillary Clinton? Yes, because of sexist asshats like you, Rush.
Yes.
John in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, first I'd like to say that one of the reasons I'm glad to be a firefighter is that I can fantasize that I still have a chance with you, Steph.
Baby. Oh, there is a firefighter exemption for sure. Yeah.
The whole thing in Tennessee, I've been a volunteer firefighter for 10 years. I'm a captain with my local department, and I can tell you that if we were told not to go into that building, there would have been a mutiny on the spot.
Yeah.
There would have been fists flying. I mean, there is... I just can't conceive under any circumstances firefighters standing by and doing nothing. I mean, that's what we are trained and designed equipped and everything to do.
You would have had to go into my house, because I would have gone in for my dogs, so you would have had to come in to get me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's just absolutely... absolutely insane. I can't in polite language express just how effed up and wrong and how disgusted and disappointed and everything else I am. It's a smirch on every firefighter that's ever fought a fire. I mean, it's unbelievable. Welcome to the
John,
new
you are making me hot on every level and rethink a bunch of things. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Have
All
a good
right. Thank you, baby. Bill in Brooklyn, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
On 9/11, I was a paramedic with a 911 receiving hospital, the St. Vincent's Catholic Medical Center. I was RDO. I got a phone call about the incident and told to come in. By the time I got there, the first World Trade Center came down, number one World Trade. I got to the scene right before the second one came down. Ironically, I've been thinking back on that day, and we heard a period of a bunch of explosions, three to be exact, before two World Trade came down, one in the sub-basement and two above us. While I was busy getting patients out of the building, loading up the ambulances with five each, I thought to myself, I can't believe this is happening. As a result of 9/11, I had my kidney removed because I had a kidney tumor. I have two lung nodules. Thank God they're stable. I have obstructive sleep apnea. And I came across a lot of information on the Internet. I absorbed it. I'm not one of these tinfoil-hatted conspiracy theorists, but I think, and deep down in my heart, I know that this was like a Gulf of Tonkin incident where the administration got us into the war.
Which is what they said they were going to do in the
project
for the American
century. And I feel the Bush administration needs to be indicted. The NIST report, as well as 9/11 Commission, was a wash-up.
Whitewash.
Yeah. Bill, we appreciate your service on 9/11.
I would like your listeners to weigh in on it.
All right. All right, honey. Thank you.
See,
I appreciate it.
I've been telling that for years. Firefighters heard explosions in the building and saw the squibs exploding. But what do they know? They're just firemen.
But thank you very much for your service. And I'm sorry about your illnesses as a result.
Yeah,
exactly.
Horrible. All right, and once again, speaking of Republican obstructionism, these are ones that were stopping them from getting health benefits.
Yeah.
Those
Absolutely.
People from 9/11. Yeah. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Won't you take me to Funky
Town? Won't you take me to the Stephanie Miller Show now with the live dancers, Edie McClurg.
I'm shaking my booty.
Oh, she is shaking the booty over there on Mondays with McClurg. Literally star of stage, screen, and everything in the universe. You are starring in a local play here in Los Angeles.
Yes, at the Geffen Theater, Geffen
nice.
Playhouse.
The very prestigious Geffen Theater. You are starring in?
Love, Loss, and What I Wore.
Now with Lauren Hutton.
Yes.
Now with 100% more Lauren Hutton.
Exactly. For a couple more weeks. And then also you have a new Pixar film that you're voicing?
Yes, that we're about to go into production on Cars 2, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
What fun.
Oh. Mm. What did you play in Cars 1?
Minivan,
of course.
Minivan.
Yes.
Minivan.
My favorite vehicle you've ever played, may I just say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Carl in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Mondays with McClurg. Hello, Carl.
Happy birthday. Happy 29th.
Thank
you're
you.
Getting there.
Thank you.
Gal. You know, I hope sometime during this month that Obama makes a nice slow speech explaining the facts as far as taxes went. Under the old taxes, before Bush lowered the taxes, we had 20% capital gains and then 39% was the upper limit. I never heard I never heard the uber rich, the 2% uber wealthy people like Bill Gates or Bloomberg or you, Steffi. I know
yes,
you get a lot of money.
Yes, yes, uh-huh, sure.
Mm-hmm. I never heard you screaming and crying and saying, we need lower taxes. We have to get our yachts paneled. It's absolutely necessary.
So the kids are
the economy was humming along and we had a surplus. Everything was fine. There was no problem. Then we went to war. As far as I know, Bush was the only president to ever go to war and lower taxes at the same time. Because you have to pay for the war.
Exactly. It made no fiscal sense of any kind. All right. We've been talking about general meanness in society in the wake of several stories this morning.
Shut up!
Screw you, Moke.
I'll take you out!
That was Carl Paladino. That was our little skit earlier with Carl.
I'm gonna take you out.
Carl Paladino offering to take me out on a date.
To dinner, and then to the movies. Just watch.
Okay. What girl could say no? All right. Yeah, sometimes, as you know, celebrities are the target of these things. Did you see this John Stamos story?
Oh,
a Michigan couple convicted of trying to extort $680,000 out of Glee actor John Stamos were each sentenced Friday to 4 years in prison. They threatened to sell old photos of Stamos with strippers and cocaine to the tabloids unless he paid. The photos did not exist. I guess that's the first problem with the plan.
If you're going to extort somebody,
you
sure
better
you have
some evidence.
Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't work if they know that there's no evidence of it.
Yes. Yes.
Wow, are they dumb.
By the way, here's a... Wow, this is a surprising breaking news. There is no cursing in the house of Eminem.
What?
Eminem's songs are delisted, right, stuffed with more curse words than the sixth grader's Facebook page. But he'll make you bite the Irish spring and put a dollar in the jar if you so much as launch a off your tongue in his house. He has three girls, and he's no cussing around the house. Just saying. Just in case you're invited.
Is that a little dichotomy of
isn't that ironic?
Intent? Irony. Irony, that's what that is.
Irony. Ronnie Wood's autobiography.
Hey, Jim, just what we all need, more Elizabeth Hasselbeck. She's joining Good Morning America in addition to The View.
Oh no!
Because we need more right-wing airheads flapping their lips on TV.
Funny you should mention that, because I have a Sarah Palin story next, and I don't know. Thank you, Captain Segway. That was like a relay baton, just beautifully Chariots of Fire style, came right up underneath me.
I'm running in slow motion.
Speaking to a group of well-connected Republicans at a private dinner in Florida this week, Sarah Palin implicitly addressed questions about her own electability by noting that critics said Ronald Reagan couldn't win.
Also, too.
One attendee said, I think she sees herself as an heir to Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
An airhead to Reagan.
Yeah, this combined with a recent the email, you know, between it really seems like, oh my God, she's seriously is thinking of running for president.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, which is, I guess, great news.
We encourage that.
We do. You go on with your bad Reagan-esque self.
Clearly the best candidate for the job.
You are exactly like Ronald Reagan. There she goes again.
Well, there you go again.
Wow. You know our good friend, Representative Keith Ellison, the rockin' congressman of Minnesota? He is one of two Muslim members of Congress, of course. He is under attack from an anti-Muslim group because he sits on the Congressional Task Force on Anti-Semitism. The paradoxically named Americans Against Hate held a rally in Florida this week to call for Ellison's immediately removal. Because I guess he couldn't possibly be for, against...
By the way, Arabs are Semitic people, too. So
yes.
If you hate Arabs, you are an anti-Semite.
Yep.
Yes.
Not that Keith Ellison is Arab. He's Muslim, which is not the same thing.
Thank you, Jim. Robert in Oakland on the Tennessee fires. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Steph. Mooks, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to give you guys a quick anecdotal. Basically where this whole libertarian pipe dream is going to end up. Mm-hmm. I'm standing in the living room of my house right now. About a year ago, we had a fire. Now, I live in Oakland, and they have a local municipal thing we have to pay. I think it's $50 a year so that the local emergency can notify a fire and police department. Paid that fee, and my alarm company, I paid that fee. None of them were notified. Through the good graces of my neighbor who called the police, the fire department, came and put the fire out. The majority of the house was saved. Now, in the libertarian pipe dream, none of that takes place because the system would have covered it all.
Yes, because it proves their point. So much you lose your house in the bargain. All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank Jim Ward, Chris LaVoy, Rebecca Taylor, and, of course, the lovely and talented Edie McClurg, your favorite audio minivan. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Bye-bye now.